that's what I was thinking, talking about the sheer pachas of gris. This is, of course, a very relevant topic for mice at the that. If a woman finds a stain less than the size of a gris, like the size of a penny, she is muteris, even though perhaps the original reason for pachas of gris may not apply anymore. The bottom line, based on the lumpus, there is still a din of pachas of gris, and of course, we know this din. Whether this din of pachas of gris is as a tliya, something that we're just almost assuming, or at least in the old days, assuming that it really came from above, whether it's more than that, namely that it's a din, so shiur, so that was also subject to a discussion. We spoke about some of the rabbis spoke on last week. But I want to talk today about some of the intricacies of pachas of gris, particularly focusing on where this kesef shows up. Most of the ksavim that we've been talking about are ksavim that show up on garments, underwear. So 90% of the ksavim shiur is that we get. The question is, what if a woman gets a kesef on her body? Does that change anything? Where does pachas of gris fit into such a thing? Okay, that's kind of what happens. Women come sometimes with a kesef on her body itself. What exactly is the din? So if we take a look at the, on page 3, where it starts, Mokom HaKesem, officially CD number 3. So when we're listening to the CDs, that's where CD number 3 would stop. I'm not going to stop at that. There is a Gemara in the Sefer Megillah on page 3. Mokom number 1. So Mokom HaKesem, the Gemara in Yidda, nothing to do with Al. Toshma, Kesem Aroch Mitztarif, Tipin Tipin E Mitztarfin. The Gemara quotes a price that says that a woman has a Kesem, which has Tipin Tipin, which is little drops. So presumably what that means is, there's a little drop of blood, and that blood is just shy of a gris. And next to it, there's another little bot, a little drop. It's also less than a gris. There's a few of them. So if you would add them up together, it would be more than a gris. But if you look at each kesem, then it would be less than a gris. So the Gemara seems to say, just an unequivocal statement, that tipin tipin would starve him. No problem. Don't worry about it. You view each kesem as an independent kesem, and therefore it's okay. Again, even though we know where this blood is coming from, but it doesn't really bother us, because as we already said, in a Torah, a woman is only asura if there was hargosha. We're assuming there was no hargosha, or whatever hargosha meant, or it does mean, or will mean, whatever the Allah equivalent of hargosha is, it's clearly not present here. So we're working with the guidelines of din of Tumah Midirabbanan. We're working with the guidelines of the Shir B'Kesem. So here, Chazal telling us, the name is Tarfin, that you look at each Kesem independently, you don't add them up together. So if you just walk away from the first Marmokom, we'd be home free. However, if you take a look at the second of the Marmokomos, we're in for a different story. So by Rabbi Yirmiyah, Yirmiyah has a shayla and needed af nun chesem and aleph, but a whole different ways that different some are presenting themselves. Kishir mal, kishur mal, tipin tipin mal, rach yurecha mal, all kind of shaylas about how the kesem is presenting itself. It looks like a circle, or it looks like a straight line, or it comes in little dots, or it's not going down a leg, it's going to the side of a leg. What's the din in all these cases? And at the end of the day, the Gemara tries to resolve it, and never really resolves it. It may lead us to believe that maybe we have to be machmer and nishaylas. So what is this case, deep and deep? Doesn't it sound like identical to what we just said about the testimonial? So here the Rishon raised the obvious question. The Gemara has two different sugyas. Wouldn't the blot of each other, you can't say they forgot from one daf to the next, wouldn't the blot, one daf yomim between the two? And the Gemara is talking about the exact same lashon, and in one place it says one thing, and one place it says something else. So in one place, it works with the price that says tipin tipin emet starfin. In another place, Rabbi Yirmiyah raised the shayla, and the Gemara doesn't prove it. The Gemara doesn't even quote that price. So clearly, there are two different cases. Clearly, the words tipin tipin don't mean the same thing in all places. So what exactly is the difference between the tipi tipin of one that's kushul mutter and the tipi tipin of another case that seems to be maybe lechomras? So Tosfos in the third of Mamkomis says the answer is very simple. So it's towards the end of the first line of the Tosfos on Daf Nuches Mal. The tipin tipin. Well, not the second line. Start with the second line. The Hadi Amal Kaman. Set the word on the second line. The Hadi Amal Kaman. The tipin tipin emet starfin. Hainu al habeged. The Hachamari al besara. The Yeshio said Lutlos Padama Kolas al habeged me al besara. It comes to us and says the answer is. Depends where the tipi tipin are found. If the little drops of blood that each one is not a gris are found on a baguette, so that's what the Brisa said. Tipi tipin emet starfin. She finds in her underwear, a little blood here, a little blood here, a little blood here. You eat them all up, they're more than a gris, but if you look at them separately, then they're not, so then it's mutter. That's the Gemara, that's the Brisa, that's the unequivocal statement. Tipi tipin emet starfin. So it was Rabbi Yirmiyah talking about. Rabbi Yomi was talking about a kesem that's found on her body. So when it comes on her body, it's a whole different ballgame, a whole different rules. What led Taisus just arbitrarily believe that Rabbi Yomi was talking about kesem on her body? Well, the truth is that seems to be the flow of Rabbi Yomi, the Ruch Birecha. He's talking about she finds it on the thigh, this way of a leg, not down, down the leg. So Rabbi Yomi is definitely discussing kesem on the body. So comes Taisus and says, so this nuance and the difference between deep in, depends upon where the kesem was found. If it's on the body, then we're more machmir. If it's on the beged, then we're more megal. Sister Torah. This doesn't make any sense. What's the difference? So Taisus tries to explain to you a little bit more. So at the end of the Taisus, Taisus says, Taisus says, it goes back to the bugs. It all goes back to the bed bugs from the last 2 weeks. So that's Taisus. The whole Shia, the Pachad Migris, is based on the bed bugs. Again, whether it's absolutely based on the bed bugs, is a real taliyah, is it something to do with bugs? So says Taisus, logically, it makes sense, it's more mistaken, more statistically correct, that when you have a kesem on a beged, so that's probably from a bed bug. You have it on your body, it's a little bit too close for comfort, that almost resembles more of a riyas dam, of nidos, rather than on a beged. Now again, we're not totally machmir on some of the body, since we will be making it. It is a shear of gris, even for some of the body, but somehow we're going to look at the shear of gris through more serious glasses. We're going to look at it through more chumritic lenses when we're evaluating a kesem on the body. So when all the dust settles, says Taisus, it's a din of a pachas gris, both for some of the body and for some of the beged. The basic halach exists, but the nuance of the details of how we view it, how do we cheshbon a gris? Oh, we would start the tipi tipi, not start the tipi tipi. Taisus says that's where the god, that's where kesem on the body versus the kesem on the beged, we're going to part ways. According to Taisus, it comes out to chedushim halacha. If we pass like this Taisus, which I don't want to jump ahead, but we do pass like this Taisus. So according to this Taisus, two chedushim come out. One the chumra, one the kula. The kula comes out, but if you have tipi tipi on a beged, you're okay. Don't worry about that. Hetagama, that's the price, tipi tipi emit stamp. If you have tipi tipi on the body, then you're up the creek, then you become asura. Now, we're still not quite sure what is tipi tipi, what's not tipi. How do you know whether you have tipi tipi? That's going to be a little bit more detailed definition as we go on. But at least we have the format, we have the basic surah of the sugya according to Taisus. Start out with a steer between two gemaras. One gemar says mutter, one gemar says not so mutter, not so sure. Taisus says the difference is body versus begadim. Of course, this Taisus logically is a throwback to what we spoke about last week. This Taisus seems to be putting a lot of emphasis on the Taliya part. And it makes more sense, it's statistically more correct to be Taila on the beged than on the body. That's already talking some language about Pachas Gris. Remember from last week, we weren't so sure that Pachas Gris is a real Taliya. Maybe Pachas Gris is more of a din, more of a Shear. So I don't know if I would use Taisus Lashon, but whatever it is, we're going to defer to Taisus right now. But are there any other pshatim in the Gemara? Whenever you see a Gemara like this, and you see a teretz like Taisus, we're not going to say the teretz is dachuk, but it's almost like, you know, kim to teretz. It's a hachuk maiskinen teretz. They're talking about different cases. This is talking about the body, that's talking about the beggar. You see a teretz like that, and you're showing him, suddenly you know in the back of your mind there's going to be another teretz. There's got to be another teretz in this kasha. So what's the other teretz in the kasha?
I mean, isn't that like Tosafos method, basically?
Tosafos does it a lot, not always. The Gemara does it a lot. The Gemara says the Mishnah is the Brayso. What's the answer? Just talk about this. Tosafos does it a lot, right? So comes the Rashi from the fourth of the Rambam Kamos, who has the same kasha. So in the first paragraph of the Rashi, he gives you Tosafos' teretz, and then he gives you his own teretz. The Li Mira says the Rashi, the Hocha B'Tibin Gedolim Sheyesh Be'Echa Behem Kegris V'Od. So says the Rashi, wait a second. The tipe tipin of the second sugya, where the Gemara is not so sure the tipe tipin is mutter, who says that those tipin tipin are less than a gris? Maybe they're more than a gris. She ate better than a gris. Look, if they're more than a gris, if you're about tipe tipin, each one should be a problem. Now, the locum of Ayalon, but the question of the Gemara is, Ela im tsurason chachas aleyen she'enen kegufa. The Gemara sounds like this. A woman presents the dam. She's got a big blotch over here, a big blob over here, a big blob over here. Each one is more than a gris, but that's not usually how dam nidus presents itself. Tamnidus usually comes out. So this is a flow. It would be all over, like it would be in one place. It wouldn't be a spot here, a spot there, a spot there, a spot there. That maybe is indicative of the fact that she was walking by a butcher store. Maybe she was splattered blood or something. Now again, it's more than a grizz. She doesn't remember that she has any tliyas, so we're not so sure. We're not going to make her so fast. But maybe the tzur of the blood itself is a matir. The imi guf alohonim matzah kegaf. It would have been from a body. It shouldn't have appeared this way. Come on, the violet image starfin. Whereas over there, later on, we're talking about a different story. The sugya later on is talking about where you have small ksamim, each one less than a gris. And the other Gemara says, taka emet starfin. So what did the Rashba just say? The Rashba said, there's no difference. There's no arbitrary difference between ksamim on a body versus ksamim on a beged. It's all the same. The halachas are all the same. The difference between the two sugyas is how big is this kesem? If each kesem is less than a gris, that's what the Brisa said. Tipi, aim, it's nothing. Small ksamim are not, it's not end of discussion. But if each kesem is bigger than a gris, so they go, I don't know, wow, I mean, maybe even though it's bigger than a gris, it should still be mutter because it doesn't appear. So just the presentation of the kesem is different. So that the Gemara wasn't so sure about. And then comes the Rashi and says, I'll prove to you textually that I'm correct. This sugya about tipe tipin mahu, when the Gemara raises the shayla about what the din of tipe tipin, the Gemara hasn't even told us the shiur of a gris. The shiur of a gris is later. The shiur of a gris appears the next after the Gemara. Etc. Says the Rashba, if you learn those two dafanidi, you'll come to the realization the first daf of the parak is talking about where the kesem is, and the second daf is talking about how big the kesem is. They're not doing each other, they're two totally different sugyas. So when all the dust settles according to the Rashba, what's the din? According to the Rashba. If a woman has tipe tipin, no matter what, if it's less than a shear, she's home free. A couple of dots on a leg, each one less than a shear, she's all right. On a beged, it's zikr, okay. So we have machlekes, tais, and the rash. What's the din? A tipe tipin mutter only on a beged, or a tipe tipin mutter even on the basar. So let's take a look. How do we pass in Shulchan Aruch? So you think this is very seemingly trivial detail. Mishal, mice, all the time. Tipe tipin, all the time, mishal. So let's take a look at the fifth of the Maimon Kamis. So Shulchan Aruch, had the ba'ina shira, that which we require a shira for a kesem, bein b'kesem harim tzal chalukah, bein b'kesem harim tzal basara, that it doesn't make a difference whether it's a kesem that's found on her clothing or it's found on her body. Now again, we said both if he tells and if he rash, that statement is true. Even Tosfos was a little bit more machmir on someone found on the body, but they're not machmir like Amrei. Tosfos machmir and had it be mishar tipi tipin. But the basic halacha of pachas b'kishir, the Tosfos concedes this. The Tosfos says if it's less than a gris, not tipi tipin, it's just a small kesem on the body. Tosfos makel. And then the Shulchan Aruch quotes another opinion. V'yesh amrim shlo amru el b'kesem and nimtzal chaluka. When do we find any of the cools of pachas b'kishir? Forget about tipi tipin. When is there even a shear of a gris altogether? That's only a kesem on a garment. V'kesem and nimtzal b'sar b'lvad. If she finds blood in a place that seems to be where the blood maybe comes from that area, then she's a surah no matter what. If she finds a blood on her finger, she doesn't become a surah. But if she finds blood anywhere in the leg area, so that's automatically a problem no matter what. There's no shear pachas b'gris. If she has a cut in the area, that's a tliya. A tliya is for sure applied. But just the automatic green light of pachas b'gris doesn't exist on a kesem on the body. This is Shita Saramba. We didn't even see Rambam Shita yet. This is Shulchan Aruch called Shita Saramba. Our minig is we don't follow this. The later posts can point out that the Kinega and the Ramesh, the later posts can point out that our minig is not like this Rambam. So we do hold that there is a kula of Bachas B'Shir on body as well. So when all the dust settles in terms of Bachas B'Shir, we're very, very makel of Bachas B'Shir. We're makel on the Gadin, we're makel on body, we're makel on everything. However, continue on the top of the page, on page 4. Ain the kesem of an epic gris to oat. What if you don't have in one place a gris? Then you have tipi tipi. Alpha appreciation tipi harbe. There are a lot of drops of blood. Smuch and zelazet. They're all near each other. Ach im nitzarfen. If we would add them all together, yeshu yosmik gris, they would add up three more than a gris. Tahora. So they had Shimuteres, Shanu Tolin, Kaltipa, Vitipa, Bekina, Achevo, Kigris, Rod, Mokam, Echad. So basically, Shulchan Aruch quotes right out of Tosfos. Shulchan Aruch says that Tipin is Motor, Vyesh Omrim, Hanimilik, Shim, Tzvachaluk, like I said about the Rachel Basara. So it should be the next chapter. So, Halach, Lamais, and Shulchan Aruch, we pass in like Tosfos. So think about it conceptually, there are really three different shittas in the Rishonim. What our view is on Tipin. According to the Rashba, we're very, very makel on Tipin Tipin. If each one is less than a gris, it doesn't matter where it is, it's fine. Rashba is the biggest makel. The Rambam is the biggest machmer, because the Rambam says, forget Tipin Tipin. If it's on a basar, it's also even one tipa is also. So we're neither the big makilim of the Rashba, nor are we the big machmir of the Rambam. Many Yisrael has become over the last 800 years or so to follow Shittas HaTosfos. Shulchan Aruch is the chweir base, pretty much that's how we pass it, like Shittas HaTosfos. That's the minig of most Rabbanim today, is to follow Tosfos. Namely that, tipe tipe on Deged is mutter, tipe tipe on Basar is also. So now that we have the background, now it's Soch Kachos. Now it's Soch L'maisa. What does this really boil down to, L'maisa?
So that's if the Tipin Tipin add up to a gris that you did that distinction you just made, or not?
Yeah, if they add up to a gris, yeah. Okay. So what do the words mean when you have Tipin Tipin on a beggar? Brisket Tarif, there are two kinds of Tipin Tipin on a beggar. Some don't present themselves so beautiful, like exactly like they're supposed to. When we talk about the, let's see if I can find you one thing. Shape that a cancer could show up as, because probably some don't show up exactly as a circle, so you just take a penny and stick it on it, show up in all kind of messy ways. So he made like 50 different diagrams, so you could measure, if the kesem meets closely to that diagram, you can measure exactly how much the area of a penny is. And I have some, okay, you can see how often I use it. Right, anyway, so the thing is, yes, it's true that tipe tipe are mutter on a baguette for sure, that's what we pass in, but the problem is that when some present themselves, so very often they present themselves with problematic colors, and often they present themselves with permissible colors as well. We haven't spoken any about colors yet, so hopefully it's nice to say down the line, we'll talk a lot about Maris Dam. So basically the Mishnah tells us in Nida, not all colors are problematic, only things that are in the red family, some kinds of red, set, and we'll get into the details later. So very often what happens is a woman will come with a Shaila, and on the Kesem there's a little bit of red, a little bit of brown, a little bit of yellowish, so how do you evaluate exactly what's going on? So according to the way most Rabbanim today paskin, based on the following, that anything that's a permissible color, so we just ignore that. If it's a yellowish or brownish, depending on what the standards of yellow and brown are, so that's lo bo b'chesh. That doesn't count towards the shiur b'gris. Only the red counts towards the shiur b'gris. But sometimes what happens is like this. If you really call it tipe tipin, so then, if you're ignoring yellow and brown, so that you have a right to say, well, each red dot is a tipe tipa. Each red dot is a separate entity. So you have a big kesem, you have a little bit of red on top, a little bit of red on the bottom, a little bit on the side, but you have brown and yellow in between. So if you're willing to close your eyes to the brown and yellow and say, well, brown and yellow is a cow, I thought those are Maris Toros, that's okay. So then each red is a kesem for the atzmo, and each red is a kesem for the atzmo, quite possibly isn't going to add up the whole. Each one is not going to add up to be a independently as a grist. Even though if you add them all together, it would be a grist. So what's the din? So most of the Acharonim hold that that's a problem.
Right?
Most of
the, if you add all the red spots,
if you would add all the red spots, if you add all the red spots together, you would have a grist. But if you look at each one independently, you wouldn't. So many achronim are machmir in that because the tshuva quotes from the kveig and from others who are machmir that she'ela. It's a wondrous thing that even though the yellow and the browns are really mutter, those themselves can't make the woman asura. So we don't have to add those yellows and browns into the cheshbon, into the calculation of reaching a gris. But you can't call that tipe means each one is a separate mach. This is a kesem, another kesem. Each one is a separate independent kesem. It's a joke. It's like, it's a separate kesem. Of course, it's the same kesem. It just has shades that happen to be technically mutter, but halachically it still doesn't have to be the same kesem. It's a very fine line up here. That's most rabbanim, many rabbanim, they're machmir for this. The Piskachuv of Kivega, who's machmir to treat that, that's not called the tibet tibin. So, what would tibet tibin mean in these kinds of shalas? You have to look at the kesem very carefully and see, is there any point where the kesem is really not connected? Not only is there not red in between, but there's nothing in between. So very often the kesem will show up that you'll have a little bit of red over here, then you'll have brown, but if you look really carefully, you'll notice there's a line of white, namely, not of a white color, but white under it. And you could see that it's not really totally connected to one another. So that's what Rabbi Willing told me, that's what's called an island. He said, you have to look at the red, if you can draw a line around it, if you have an island around it, so that means then it's not an atmosphere to it, it's what's next to it. So you have to be really careful now. So when you look at a kesem, you have to, not only are we looking at the colors, not only are we looking at the amount, but we're looking at the tziruf to see whether we're entitled to follow this kula of tipe tipe and mitzdarfen. What makes matters sometimes even more complicated is, even if you make this calculation in your mind, okay, I'm looking at this, and now I knocked out the brown, the yellow, I'm ignoring the brown, the yellow, and I'm assuming those are maris tahoros, whatever the shades are, I'm only focusing on the red, but when I'm focusing on the red, do I have a gris of red or not? Do I really truly have that gris of red? The problem is it's very hard to measure because I have a penny. I'm trying to figure out, well, do I have a penny's worth of red in this whole thing? Sometimes it's very hard to see where does the red end, where does the brown start. It's not always so simple. So you have to look at it really, really carefully and see, do I have a gris of red? Do I not have a gris of red? You have to start to measure. So there are two ways of measuring. So either you can measure the first thing you have to do is get out your penny. So you get out your penny. Or I've got them carry pennies, multiple pennies with them. Okay, so you have a penny, you take a look at a mara, and you try to stick the penny over the mara, and see, well, how much of the red part, not the brown, yet, how much of the red part is taking up Lincoln's head? And then you start looking down at Lincoln's body, and look at his side. And if you try to make a cheshbon to figure out, well, you know, you see where Rabbanim Klum is walking around, trying to look at the sun to get a good look at it. I got about this part of the penny, I got about that part of the penny, and are they all adding up? That's all practical applications, TPTP. Sometimes it gets very, very difficult to try to make this cheshbon. Sometimes what you have to do is, you have to do a little surgery. Namely, you have to rip apart the cats themselves. So, as a guy, Rabbanim, always get permission to do that. Don't rip somebody's bag over the head. I'm mazik. If they ask the woman's okay for you to tell her that you're not going to get this kiss and that. But the only way to be mazik is to mamash rip it apart. So you take a scissors, and I've done this one once. Take a scissors, and you start cutting on the, like a nursery. You're cutting on the line. You have to cut on the red line, because you don't want to get any of the extra brown and yellow in. But again, it's not always such a perfect, you know, split. You have to start to cut the red part, and then you take all the little pieces of red, cast them, you put a penny on the table, and you start filling in the gaps. So if you could fit all the pieces of red onto the penny, and there's still penny left, that's another way of saying you have not yet reached the shear of a grist, so that's going to be mutter. So you got to have multiple talents over here. You have to know, I'm not so good at cutting things down. Usually have somebody else help me with this part. So you have to look, make sure, again, we're looking at colors, we're looking at sizes, we're looking at what's connected to what, and we're all trying to base this all together based on the pennies. That's what it is. That's based on this sugya of Bachas and Gris. That's the practical application of this Tosfos and this sugya in Shulchan Aruch about Bachas and Gris.
But the red, all the red pieces don't have to be mitzarfen?
Yeah, the red pieces have to be mitzarfen. We mitzarfen all the red pieces together as long as there was brown and yellow that was touching them. If there was anything that's on an island, on its own part of the baguette, we just completely.
And isn't it a possibility or you know, likelihood that, you know, if the garment is kind of folded over, and once you open it up, that's you're going to have this island?
That's a whole other story about how folded and how do you look at Tasha Dvarim is, you look at a baggage, you look at it, you put it down, you fairly open it, it's fairly normally, you look at it, that's the Pashas. The Bosans are talking about, you have this all the time. You have a, it goes over the crease. So you have, if you look at it, in theory it's separate, then you start looking over over the middle, it gets complicated to have a look at it. Right. So you have to look at it partially. If you're also in the head dying, look at it, you see, it doesn't look like it's connected to me.
I'm just saying, like, if you have a normal garment, like, you can have, like right now my shirt is
crazy. Right, so the posh
okay, so something were to splatter on it.
Yeah, posh is you spread it out when you look at it.
But why would you differentiate? Why would you, just because...
Yeah, that's, I think, the din is, in the dining mushroom in a row, it's to be normal, so you just put it on the table and you look at it, and sure. I think so.
Can a rub accept, if someone gives the rub interpretation of what they saw as far as the kesem and, the, you know, the red... What happens then?
I mean, I don't see it. They just tell me what they think. That's very hard. I usually tell them when that happens is I can't possibly let you don't see. So it's very, very hard to answer shah if you don't see it. There is a... there have been suggestions these days to start sending over, you know, texting pictures of Maris. Pictures of Maris are not a good thing. First of all, the color is never perfect on the picture. The only time once in a while you could use a picture... Picture could help sometimes to see whether it's tibet tibet or not. That you can sometimes tell in the picture. It could sometimes help you for a little bit in terms of size, a little bit, but in terms of the actual shade of the color itself, probably not the best idea to rely on the pictures. So we only spoke about half the story. We spoke about the 95% of the common shadows of tibet tibet ala beged. What about tibet tibet ala bosa? Let's pause back for a second. So according to the Rambam, there's no such sugya as tipei tipin on basar, because according to the Rambam, even the smallest amount on the basar, if it's in that area, is going to be a problem. But there, the later post, Moshe said that we don't follow that, the Rambam. I mean, it's not like that, Rambam. You know, the shachtach is machal to that Rambam. The later post came, seems to be making like that. So we're going to hold that if it's on basar, we're still entitled to the shear of a gris. However, we're entitled to the shear of a gris, but remember what Taisa said, is that here there's a difference between that basar versus beged. That beged, so we are able to be maker of the tipa tipa not mitzvah, but on the basar, so we're machmer the tipa tipa not mitzvah. But that taisa that said that, well, it's more likely that it came from the body rather than the dam. So therefore, the kula of tipa tipa and mitzvah doesn't apply to the basar. So we pass like that against the Rashbas. Remember, we pass in the middle ground against the Rambam Tzumra, against the Rashbas kula. So halacha l'maaseh, we follow that view in Shulchan Aruch, that on the basar, even tipit tipin are going to be mitztarif. So now you have a little bit of a complicated shaila. A woman calls with a shaila, and this gets very tricky, because here, a woman calls with a shaila on a basar, the Rav Nachman could look at that. So how you passing a shaila on the basar? Beged, the Rav could look at it, but a basar, not sure. I remember I was once talking to Chasher Rav. I don't remember whether I asked him, he asked that. Everybody, what the context was. I think I asked him, does he have any shibush? Do you have any experience in how to pass in a shayla on the basar? That sometimes a woman can describe from today till tomorrow. He said, I have to look at the shade of the color. Wow. So he also didn't have any input about that. How do you look at a shayla on the Sarah Isha? It's not a shayla to look at. So I don't know. I can't answer that. So any shayla I've ever had on the Sarah Isha, the woman has to give me the information. So she has to tell me, I can't really look at the color, but I could try to tell her to take the pen and try to tell her to figure out the size. So the shayla is, a woman one time called me with the following shayla, that she had on her leg, whatever it was in the garment, I don't know, that was in the motor, whatever it was, but on her leg, she found tipe tipe. She found a little bit of, little drop of blood, another little drop of blood, another three, four little drops of blood, and each one was less than a penny. I said to myself, oh my goodness, this is it. This is Mamshit. The once in a lifetime. This is the type of Mishnah. Yeah, tipe tipe al gufa isha arm mitzdafin. That's the problem. So I was about to say she's a surah finished. And then, you know, it just bothered me. I felt I had never passed it. Tipe tipe mitzdafin. I mean, it's a nice sugi and taste and bomb the shogunah. But it doesn't happen all that often. But if it's man azad, there are almost no ksam on gufa isha for a simple reason. Today, women wear underwear. In the olden days, women didn't wear undergarments. So very often you would have many ksum going down the leg. Today, if she has a kesem on the leg, that means there was so much blood that it went through her underwear already. So then it's usually going to be a moot shayla anyway. So if it's not a zed, I have a shayla only on the gufa isha. That on the undergarment is almost not shayla. So I can count literally on things on one hand how many gufa isha ksum you have. It's not a zed. But this particular case, that was a woman called me. That she had tipe what seemed to fit into this discussion of tipe on gufa isha. Sounds like we have to be machmir. So I remember I said to the woman a little way back in a minute, I said, I called Rabbi Willard, he asked me, I said, I don't have any experience in the Shaila. What's the din? I know what it says in Shulchan Aruch. Well, I said, what's the Tachlis? I said, what are the Rabbanim annoying today? So he asked me, he said, well, where on the leg is it? How close are the Tipei Tipin to one another? I said, I don't know. So he said, well, find out how close they are, right? He said, because the Poskim write that the Tipei Tipin of Mitzarech, that's when they're at least within the ballpark of being close to each other. You have one Tipa over here, another Tipa, 3 feet away. There's not Mishnah Tzir whatsoever. Because if you have something that's pretty much in the same, but also Mokum on the leg, also part of the group, that limits difference. And one's in the front leg, one's in the back leg, the bottom leg, they're so far away from one another. Again, there's a very, very unclear hagdara as to what's called close, what's called far. So he said, that's not mistarif, even on Vasa. So I asked him, where does it say that exactly? I said, I didn't see that in Shulchan Aruch. He said to me, it's a Rashba. Rashba, the last person you would expect to find the Rashba. So he said, it's not in the Chiddush Rashba. It's not even in the Teres Abayis. The Teres Abayis is the long safe that the Rashba wrote about all of Kashrus and Nidus as well. Long safe, which quote all the time. There were two parts of the Rashba. The Teres Abayis Aruch and the Teres Abayis HaKotzer. So he wrote the long one. That's what's 99% of the stuff is quoted. And the HaKotzer, like the Kitz Shulchan, like the quick, quick check art school, quick edition, of what every rabbi has to know, called Teres Abayis HaKotzer. The truth is that almost nobody reads the Teres Abayis HaKotzer because it's hard to pass the chance. It's just like, Asamutta, Teres Abayis HaKotzer is where the whole development of this thing is. So Rabbi Willard said to me, it's not in the Chiddush HaRashba, it's not in the Teres Abayis HaKotzer, it's in the Teres Abayis HaKotzer. The Teres Abayis HaKotzer, for some reason, he didn't say it in the Aruch, he has this line that he says, B'med v'memurim, that the machmirim, and the Teis of the Shita, that a kesem al haguf, tipa and starf, and that's in the, all within the same basic location. But if they're far away from one another, then even Teis of the Shmekel, that's not the starif. So I don't know whether I challenge him in a nice. I hope it wasn't. How did you know that? Where did that come from? So he said, shh. He said, Ravadi Yosef quotes it. He said, cheated. It's in the Taras of Ayes. Ravadi Yosef, Taras of Ayes. He read everything. He read every Rashba, but even the ones that nobody reads anymore. So he read the Taras of Ayes HaKotzer also. So he discovered him, he discovered the Taras of Ayes HaKotzer. So that Taras of Ayes HaKotzer was, that's capacity. So it was strange because the person who formed with the Shaila formed from Rishalayim, the Shaila. And if I'm not mistaken, I think Rabbi Willig was in camp, he was in the sometime. I think I was in Param. I'm trying to remember, reconstruct how the way the Shaila traveled. So I remember the Shaila came from Yerushalayim to Paramus at the time. I called it up to Lake Como, to which he referenced back to Avadia. I think it was like the person I think lived in Harnof was like across the street from us. I could have asked him directly, but made its way around the globe. So Lamaisa Yesh Makom L'Hakol. So we're talking Makel on that Shaila. It was a deep in Abu Faisha, because the way the woman described it, the Taka wasn't so near each other. One was in the front, one was in the back. So Yesh Makom L'Hakol, even according to Mechlin. So when all the dust settles, we have the sugars of Tipei Tipin, there's Tipei Tipin in Al-Haveged, there's Tipei Tipin in Al-Gufa'isha, there are different nuances, and you have to be careful to try to get all the details right in order to pass for the Shaskar. Okay.